He took the fall and thought of me above all. Really? Many of us go through life as if we're just skimming across water. We don't stop and go deep. We just keep going and remain shallow. But every now and again, there are those moments when we're forced to stop and think about deep and mysterious things. And this morning is one of those moments. Throughout the service so far, we've been reflecting on very deep and very mysterious and very moving things, the deep things of God. And we've been thinking of love, pure love, the love of another kind than human love. We've thought of the love that the Father had for his Son before the world began, and that the love that Jesus had for his Father before the earth was ever created. It's a love so pure, so divine, so other person-centered that we cannot fully understand it. And yet that love existed. And that love they decided to share with us and to show us. And God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And Jesus so loved us that he gave himself for us. This is tremendous love, the love of self-giving, the love of thinking for others. Now, when you love someone, you're always thinking about them. The Father thought of us before the world began when he chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight. And Jesus thought of us when he was living on this earth and also when he was dying on the cross. He thought of us above all. And I want to spend just a few moments thinking of three people in particular that Jesus was thinking about on the cross. And the first was this. Jesus was thinking about his mother. Mary, who with a few other ladies had gathered at the foot of the cross that day. As a young girl, maybe 14, 15, certainly no more than 16 years of age, she'd given birth to Jesus in an animal shelter in Bethlehem. Strange events surrounded that birth. Shepherds came in to worship. Wise men came from the east to worship as well. And after 30 days, maybe 40 days, but between 30 and 40 days, they went up to Jerusalem. And there they were to present Jesus in the temple. And another strange thing happened in that temple. An old man by the name of Simeon, he came up to Mary as she was carrying Jesus. And he said these words to her, that this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And then he added these words, and a sword, Mary, will pierce your own soul too. What a thing to say to a young teenage mother whose baby was only 30 days old. A sword will pierce your own soul too. It was a prophecy of what was going to happen to the Lord Jesus Christ and to her as well. So now here she is at the foot of the cross, some 33 years later. She's now 47, 48, no more than 49 years of age. And she's watching her son die on a cross. And this is every mother's worst nightmare, that their child should die before them. And Mary watched her son die, and a sword was piercing her soul at that moment. And as Mary is looking up at the cross, Jesus is being crucified and dying, and Jesus is looking down from the cross. Here's Mary beholding all this, and here's Jesus watching what's going on before his very eyes. And we know that there were all kinds of people gathered round the foot of the cross. There were Roman soldiers and Jewish authorities. There were the large crowd because it was Passover time in Israel. But also some of Jesus' friends were there. and also his own mother, Mary, and one apostle by the name of John. And Jesus notices them. He watches them. He sees them. His eyes saw Caiaphas, the high priest. His eyes saw the cruel Romans, and he looked at the hostile crowd behaving like animals. And as he looked around, because he could move nothing else apart from his head, as he looked around, he saw his mother. And I have no doubts that as Jesus was growing up, that Mary would have told him all about the events of the birth and told him also about what Simeon said in the temple when he was 30 days old. And now Jesus knew as he looked down at his mother that a sword was piercing her soul. And Jesus thinks of her. And when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple John, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, John took Mary into his home. Such thoughtfulness, such love, such concern from Jesus on the cross. He thought of Mary above all. But Mary was not the only one Jesus was thinking about. Jesus also thought about the men who were dying next to him. Crucifixion was a common Roman punishment, so cruel, so awful. It was a capital punishment for murderers and violent men and terrorists and enemies of the state and runaway slaves. And many people were crucified. And on that day that Jesus was crucified, two men were crucified, one either side of him. And those men were filled with hatred, whereas the man in the middle was filled with such love. And those men were led to believe that the Greek word actually means they were terrorists, probably against the Romans, whom they counted as occupiers of their homeland. They would have murdered, they would have killed. And on the left and on the right, there were murderers. And in the middle of those two was the sinless, innocent, loving man, Jesus, the Son of God. And once again, Jesus is identifying with sinners. He did so throughout his life, eating and drinking with sinners so as to save them. But also in his death, he was numbered with the transgressors. He was counted as one of them. And as the day went on, and as the hours wore on, a conversation took place between these dying men on these three crosses. One of the terrorists joined in the mocking of Jesus. Many people were throwing insults and slander at him as Jesus hung upon a cross. And one of the terrorists joined in. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." And he spat out hatred in death, just as he did in life. What a terrible way to go to your grave, with a heart full of bitterness and hatred. And that man did. On the other side of Jesus was another terrorist who also began with hatred in his heart towards everyone around him and towards Jesus on the cross as well. But something happened to that man. We're not quite sure what it was, but something happened to that man, and he had this realization that he was suffering for his own sin. He knew that he was a sinner. And then he had this fear of God come over him. And he looked at Jesus and he saw the innocence of Jesus. And again, he moved the only thing that he could move on the cross. He turned his head towards Jesus and asked for mercy. He prayed to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus Christ thought about that man too and showed him such love. To that repentant terrorist, Jesus gave these words of hope. "I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And what a contrast from the hell of Golgotha, with its blood and sweat and dust and death and violence and anger and hostility and hatred and animal behavior. What a contrast to where Jesus and this dying terrorist were about to go. Today, you'll be in a perfect, beautiful, glorious, peaceful, relational place where the presence of God is known, where love rules, and true beauty and holiness shine forever. Today, that's where you'll be. You don't need to wait. Today, you'll be there with me. The place really is unimportant. You'll be with me. That's all important. And Jesus thought of him and showed such love to this sinful man. But, you know, that was not the first time that Jesus had thought of this terrorist. Before the world began, he chose him to be holy and blameless in his sight. And now they meet on a cross. Such thoughtfulness, such love, such concern from Jesus on the cross. He thought of the dying terrorist above all. Third person, people that Jesus was thinking about was you and me, us. How do we know that? Is it just wishful, nice thinking? Oh, yes, Jesus was thinking of me on the cross. Is it just a sentimental thought to make us feel loved? Is it just a positive thought to counteract how bad we actually feel about ourselves? How do we know that Jesus was thinking about me, about you, about us? We know it because of what he said the night before the cross happened. It was the Thursday night in the upper room. Jesus was celebrating the Passover feast with his disciples. We know it as the Last Supper. And during that Last Supper, Jesus did a very symbolic action that we are to repeat until the end of time. Jesus pre-acted his death through the symbols of bread and wine. And Jesus took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you." Given for you. He was thinking of them. He had them in mind when he gave them that bread, because he would have them in mind when he was suffering on the cross. Ah, you say that was just for those special 12 apostles in their upper room. Surely, surely it's not for us too. Surely it's just for those. Well, hold on. Approximately 34 years after the crucifixion, a scripture letter was written to some disciples in Greece. And these very words were repeated. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you." That was 34 years after the cross. And that's the amazing thing, that those people in Corinth in Greece receive that bread as a memory that Jesus had given himself for you, for them, for us. And we are the travail of his soul, and we are the fruit of his death. And he was the seed that fell into the ground and died, and we are the much fruit that has sprung out. And Jesus was thinking about us. He did it all for us, amazingly. For us, he prayed in the garden, "Your will, not mine." For us, he was arrested, tried, and condemned. He was beaten, whipped, and tortured. For us, he walked to Calvary. For us, he was nailed to the cross. For us, he died. For us, that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be reconciled to the Father, and that we might know this amazing love of God, and that we might know that the Father loves us just as he loved his Son from before the beginning of time. Such thoughtfulness, such love, such concern from Jesus. He thought of us above all. And now he welcomes us to receive that love, to know that love, to know that forgiveness. His grace, his healing is offered to us. "Come, know my love. Come, feel my love," he's saying. "Come. Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come, brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come, find his mercy. Come, sit at the table. Come, taste the grace. There's rest for the weary. There's rest that endures.